Welcome to the Kingsley Grant Show, the podcast dedicated to helping you become the leader everyone loves and wants to follow. Kingsley believes his leadership paradigm, emotelligence, the art of succeeding where others failed, is the key to achieving this status. On this show, Kingsley guides you through the uncharted waters of emotional intelligence and leadership essentials, with the guarantee that upon exit, you will become more skilled in relationship management, decision-making, and job performance. Now here's your host, your coach, and your Sherpa, Kingsley Grant.
Here we go, here we go, here we go. This is your boy, Kingsley Grant, behind the Jamaican microphone, bringing you yet another show. Today, I am coming to you from the Command Center of the Emotelligent Leadership Institute, where I am in an undisclosed location because I'm written into the vault of where I have stacks and stacks of the resources that I have, especially for you. They are selected. So today, I'm going to reach as right now into the vault. Okay, I've got it. Yeah, let me put that down here. All right, we've got it. Yes, we do. And today we are going to talk about what it is that you've come to find out. And that is, which of these five familiar leadership styles that is the least effective? And we're going to mention all five of them, and then I will tell you which you probably will identify as I go through them, which might be the most ineffective of the five. And I believe that you will be able to look through this lens, or this lens of leadership, these styles of leadership, and probably not only look for what style you might be, but the style that you probably have experienced and probably is experiencing. And I want to share with you what I believe would be the best choice of these five, right? So I'll share with you all five. I'll share with you the most ineffective or the least effective, and then I'll share with you what I believe would be the most effective of all five, right? Are you ready for that? Now, I believe that these five cover what most leadership looks like. And in my research, in my studies, in my experience, I think I've captured them here. And I've read just, you know, peer reviews. I've looked at articles by the leading experts in the area of leadership and emotional intelligence. And I think that what I've found tend to agree with what I'm going to share with you. One of the leading research companies or organizations that I find very credible is the Center for Creative Leadership. And the CCL. What I do find I like about this organization or this research company is that they focus on the Fortune 500 companies, the top companies that you would expect the companies in the top five, you know, Forbes list of top companies, because they are doing something right. They're doing something right. However, there are exceptions, right? They may be where they are, but could be even better positioned if they could actually redo their leadership, tweak their leadership, modify their leadership, look at what would even make things better. You know, I like what John Maxwell have said, and that is, everything rises and falls on leadership. I also like the fact that leadership is influence. That means leaders set the tone for what happens within the organization. And you may have heard me talk about this in many ways. And when I went through this list or put this list together, I asked myself the question, what kind of leader would I say that I am? And I will share with you what my conclusion is towards the end of this episode. So let's kind of dig in, and I want you to identify as we go through possibly what leader you would say you are, or what combination. Okay, what combination? So I'll talk about style 1, style 2, style 3, style 4, style 5, and you could say, okay, I am more like style 1, or a combination of style 1, 2, or 3, or 4, whatever combination you come up with, I would love to hear from you what that is. So would you make sure that as you track, would you then at the end let me know? And one of the best ways that I want to suggest is that if you're not on LinkedIn, then join me there. If you're not on any social media, then you can always email me or contact me at kingsleygrant.com. kingsleygrant.com. Just contact me there through email, and I will be more than happy to follow up with you. If you are interested in any of what you're hearing, whether on this episode or past episodes, and you would love to have me come in and share with your group about leadership, you know, I just wanted to, a side note here. A few days ago, I was cutting my grass, and I just really enjoy the process. You say, Kingsley, enjoy the process cutting your grass, especially in South Florida where it's so humid? Are you kidding me? Are you crazy? Well, no, I know it's hot. Yes, even this past Saturday when I was cutting my grass, oh man, it was so humid. I was drenched. But here's what I like about this, and I will get to the five leadership styles in a few moments, but this may help you to understand some things here. What I like about the fact is that my love language, or what really kind of fuel my fire, so to speak, is words of affirmation. Do you know what yours are? Yours is? There's five. You can read that about. You can research and see what those are. So I won't go into that. And what happened is I like to do things like cutting the grass and have it look really good in the neighborhood. And people will drive by, or neighbors may say something to me, man, your lawn, your, you know, the edging, the cutting, the landscape is so beautiful. I love hearing that. Now, I don't do it just to hear that. I want to make sure I say that up front, because I do it because I love to see the lawn looks good. When I drive up in my yard, I want to see a very nicely manicured lawn, right? That's, I like that. But I also like when my wife or my children or neighbors will say, great job, it looks real good. You know, that's just something that I enjoy, because my love language is what that is, and it fuels my fire. And so, but at the end of my cutting my grass, I'm drenched. You know, I'm just soaking all the way through, and I can take a nice shower and relax. But while I'm cutting my grass, here's what I do. I listen to podcasts, or I listen to audiobooks, and I will go through a number of podcasts, and I will get ideas, or just kind of let it play in the, I'm almost like a white noise to the lawnmower or the edger, right? So it kind of kills all of that. However, I was one day cutting my grass, and the thought occurred to me. I was listening to some podcast. I can't remember which of them it was. Oh, no. I was doing an interview with someone, and the person mentioned a phrase that had me thinking. And then out popped this idea. Now, if you've been listening to my episodes before, you have heard me talk about the idea of leaders being celebrated by their team members. and what leaders can do not to look for a celebrated status or celebrity status, but what will come naturally as a result of their leadership. And some of these five styles I'll mention, you'll see how you as a leader can be celebrated, how you as an employee may celebrate your leader if they, he or she, have this kind of style that I'll share with you. But what happened was I thought about this idea, which I've spoken about years in the past, about rock star leadership. That phrase I've used, I've done illustrations about that, and I have a special talk that I give on this topic. And the thought occurred to me, and I've since gone in, and I know this may change in the future, but right now, I went in and I changed my backdrop on my LinkedIn. If you're on LinkedIn, you can go there and see for yourself. But the thought occurred to me, why not say what it is I do, which is bold. It's maybe, you know, the whole audacity of me to say this, but I turn leaders into celebrities and employees into rock stars. Wow. Now that's kind of a tall order, isn't it? But the question may come, which I think you might have, is how do you turn leaders into celebrities, Kingsley? Well, you're going to see as I go through these five styles, when I mentioned which style I think I am, you'll see how I will use that as a filter and lens through which I look in helping leaders become celebrity. And these five styles, you will see that if you and when you practice the ones that I identify as most effective and do less of the one that is least effective, you will be celebrated. You will become the person that your team will want to win, will want to succeed, because they believe that you have earned that right. And if you're not a leader, per se, title-wise, but I believe everybody is a leader, right? You know, I mentioned in the past where sociologists have said that the most introverted person will influence at least 10,000 people in their lifetime. 10,000. Imagine that. So everyone then have influence or will influence someone. The question is, how intentional are you going to be? And this is what I want to share with you now as we dive into the five styles. So I told you the story about the grass cutting for a reason, because that is part of how I rejuvenate, re-energize, fuel myself, develop my craft, learn new things, ideas pop, my creative juice is flowing. How do you get your creative juice flowing? What do you do that is aside from your everyday kind of performance, or not performance, but everyday humdrum? You know, what do you do every day? What do you do that separates yourself as different, that allows your creative juice to possibly flow in a way that it would not flow? I hope you do something that creates, that gives you that moment for creativity. And when you do get those thoughts, you'll write them down and do something with them. So let's kind of dive in then, which of these five familiar leadership styles is the least effective, and I want to see which of these are you. The first style I want to mention, now these could be in any order, I just mentioned them in this order. The first style is visionary, the visionary leader. Now, what does that mean? It means the person inspires people by focusing on long-term goals. Now, I mentioned in one of my past episodes about John Kennedy, and he's not the only one, but he's remembered because he had this vision of America putting someone on the moon in 10 years. So you would say he was a visionary leader because he inspired the nation, inspired NASA to find a way to make this happen. Now, this I don't know this about him, but this is the additional part about a visionary leader. He or she is a good listener and can explain the overall goals for the organization in a way that people are willing to get behind. They're willing to say, yes, let's make this happen, because the vision is so clear. You know, again, you probably by now know this, that the Bible is what informs me in morality and just my thought process in many ways. It shapes me in many, many ways. And I remember reading where the prophet was told by God to write the vision down. And he said, write it down very clear so that people can understand and run with it. That is a visionary leader. That's where I believe that style of leadership is what I would say effective. The next style is the coaching style of leadership. And that is the leader, what he or she does, that they help their people, their teams, to work out for themselves how they can find additional information and resources to get the job done. They are not the one that are going to create a dependent leader, a team member. He or she is going to push, because they believe in that team member, he or she is going to push them to their highest potential. They believe that they have the capacity to do what the work they were hired for. They will effectively delegate authority to their team members within the area of responsibility that they have. They will ask questions, for example, as a coach would, in asking, well, how could you make that happen? They will say, well, what do you think we ought to do? So they're not always going to be the one to tell someone what to do. Very rarely do they do that. They don't necessarily give advice unless they see the need for it. They want to push their people that they believe are very well qualified for the job that they were hired to do to become resourceful. They will provide the resources, but help them to become resourceful in the task at hand. That coaching style is what helped to push people, again, as I mentioned, to their highest potential. It is what challenges people. And people who are high, what I call, you know, most talented, the best kind of employee, team member, they love that kind of leadership, because it is what juices them, is what keeps them going, because they feel as if their leader believes in them, believes in their ability, and releases them in their passion, their areas of passion, to do the best, to do the best job. Those people tend to remain with the organization for a long time, because that coach is calling out the best in them, is finding out how to tap into what that person is able and capable of. That's the coaching style. Now, the third style is the democratic style. Now, what this kind of leadership, what does that looks like? It is, I would use another word also that helps to explain this pretty quickly: collaborative. They like to take input and commitments from those within the team, in the group, so that people can own the suggestions, the decisions, and will work towards making that successful. They're good listeners. They welcome, they invite input from others. So they partner. You know, in my book, The Immotelligent Leader Succeed Where Others Failed, I hope you've gotten a copy and you've read it. But one of the chapters I talk about tend to explain this democratic process. He or she is what I call the chapter is Leadership is Partnership. And in that chapter, I speak about collaborative effort. I talk about delegation. I talk about partnering, because some of the people you have around you are probably more skilled at certain things than you are. And those people are able to help co-create a decision that's made. It's been co-created by the leader and his or her team. And what I find, people tend to get behind that much easier and support it and push it forward because they had a part to play. That is what the democratic leader does, or the collaborative or partner type of leadership. The fourth type of leadership is the one I call the commanding type of leadership. The commanding type of leadership. This kind of leadership is the one that basically set ambitious goals like the visionary leader does. But he or she will then kind of continually monitor and is really looking at metrics, looking at measurements. They will push the bottom line above everything else. You know, in the DISC personality profile, DISC, the D stands for dominant. It doesn't mean this person is necessarily domineering. It simply means that they, above and beyond everything else, is task-driven. They want the bottom line. The job gets done. That is the end of the story. It doesn't matter how you're feeling. They don't think about those things. That is not necessarily important to them. They will listen to you and say, yes, but the job needs to get done. Business keep on moving. Regardless, that's the bottom line person. They're the commanding type. They will do things and make decisions without asking for input. They were the ones that would say, because I say so. It's the idea of sometimes be condescending. It's kind of arrogant, and to some degree, some people might say narcissistic. They believe in themselves. They see themselves as the end all, be all. And so that kind of leadership is the one that pushes people. And here's the thing. They can lose their best talents. They can lose quality people because people feel as if they don't matter. They're not cared about. And what they do, as long as they produce, as long as they show up and robotically get the job done, that's all that matters. I don't think people necessarily like to be around that. Now, in some cultures, we see this kind of leadership. Now, there are some countries that have, it's all they know. They've been conditioned to a totalitarian kind of dictatorial kind of leadership where it's commanding, and that's all they know. They don't know anything else about democratic style of leadership and so on, right? It's a flip side of democratic. And so that's the conditioning. And what happened, people tend to just do as they're told. But I still believe those individuals have a desire to have a freedom to express themselves and add their own input into certain things. That's a human, I believe it's a human, it's within humanity. I believe God's placed that within all of us, a desire to feel, to be free, to have an input, to express, to speak for ourselves, and not always have someone speaking for us. But that's the commanding style of leadership. And the fifth style is what I call the immortelligent leadership style. Now, this is a word I've created, and it goes with my book. And what I use this word because I believe it summarizes and captures the kind of leadership that truly gets the results that you're looking for. It's a type of leadership that creates a warm, people-focused working environment or atmosphere. Notice I did not, this may sound sometimes like fuzzy, No, it gets the job done. It gets people to be willing to show up. As a matter of fact, OC Tanner, which is a research company, they found that 79% of people who left the workplace, they left because they never had this kind of atmosphere, environment, where they were acknowledged, applauded, felt like they mattered. This is what immortelligent leaders do. They create this kind of atmosphere. You say, Kingsley, immortelligent? Well, again, if you read my book, you will get a better understanding where my biggest push lately is immortelligence, which the word immortelligent comes from. Immortelligence is the new intelligence. And I have a past episode, which I hope you've listened to and learned what I mean by that. But an immortelligent leader listens and accommodates the team members, the employees' emotional needs in the workplace. People, when they know that you care about their overall being, not just the end result, the numbers, the metrics, not just that. It doesn't mean you don't care about that. As a matter of fact, you do care about that so much that you realize it only is going to happen because people feel as if you care about them. And when they feel like you care about them, 90% of people, okay, 90% of people by a research will show have shown that 90% of people said, actually, people said, yeah, 90% of people said they would give 100% of themselves if they have an environment that validates, acknowledges, recognizes, treat them in the way that an immortelligent leader, and I put the word immortelligent inside there because the research doesn't have that word, but that's what it is in my mind, in my book, in my world, have been describing. Because it's people-focused, it's other-centered, and it acknowledges and takes the person's emotional needs into consideration. That is huge, my friend, because people will know that they matter, and that is what they're looking for. They're looking for that sensitivity. Now, I've listed, let me mention all five styles again. The first one I mentioned was a visionary style. The second one I mentioned was the coaching style. The third one I mentioned was the democratic style. The fourth one I mentioned was the commanding style. And the fifth one I mentioned is the immortelligent style. Now, which of these do you think, you say, duh, Kingsley, I know. Which of these do you think is the least effective? Well, the least effective, my friend, is a commanding style, hands down. That's the least effective. Does it get the job done? Yes. But could it get a better job done? Oh, of course. But it won't happen under a commanding style. Which is the most effective that I believe is the immortelligent. Why? Because it takes in visionary, coaching, and democratic. If you really listened and noticed and go back to what I said about the immortelligent style, you'll find that it includes the visionary, the coaching, and the democratic. And that's why I believe that is a style of leadership I adhere to, I advocate, I believe with all my heart is going to be the style in the 21st century that makes leaders succeed where others failed. Not just because I wrote the book, The Immortelligent Leader, but I believe that the more I look at leadership and look at the research and the studies, case studies, I find this one theme over and over reappearing. And I call that immortelligence. And that's, you know, hopefully by now you understand where I'm coming from when I mention that word. So my question now is this, as we wrap things up here, my friend, is which of these styles would you more say that you are? Or which combination of styles would you say that fits is more of your kind? Now, if you say like I did, I would simply say you are the immortelligent leader. And welcome to my world of immortelligence. And let's join this movement. Be a part of this movement. Get the book. Connect with me. Let us change the landscape of leadership by
promoting immortelligence, the art of succeeding where others failed. My friend, so thank you very much for taking the time to listen. I didn't really think I would go this long. I thought it would be a much shorter episode, but I think I got excited and I'm getting carried away and I'm about these leadership styles, and I wanted you to hear them, and I hopefully it was helpful. So thanks for listening. My friend, remember this, you are one skill away, one skill. With that said, my friend, let's put this show, this episode back into the vault and securely in the vault. Here we go. There it is. Now, with that said, my friend, I can exit the command center of the Immortelligent Leadership Institute and back into the world where we all live. With that said, my friend, peace out. God bless. And I'll see you on the flip side. Yeah.